Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett.
And I'm Michael Arsenault. And this is Undomesticated.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
All-Pro Garrett Bowles and former 49er Mike McGlinchey are the tackles. And on the third play of the game, here's a slant picked off at the 40-yard line. Stumbling forward with the ball is Traquez Bridges.
Welcome in DFW. And as exciting as it started yesterday for your Dallas Cowboys, that might have been the highlight of the game. That might have been as excited as Cowboy fans got, maybe after the 14-10, right? You're down a score. You're thinking to yourself, all right, we get back into this. And then the proverbial wheels fell off. Welcome into Monday night. It is Fan After Dark, DFW. I hope you guys are having a wonderful start to your week right now. I am Fred Davis. We've got Mr. Blake Elliott. You know it's serious when not only am I sipping on a cup of coffee on a Monday night, but Blake Elliott needed a cup of Joe as well. Welcome to the program, Blake Elliott.
It's been a long day, man. I needed the coffee to get through this long day, and I wanted to give my best energy to the Tolos, fatties. Because I'm not going to lie, when we don't do Cowboys games on Sundays, it feels like forever from when we're last year at the studios. I know it was only since Saturday.
We were here. I mean, I was here Sunday morning. So
you put in work for Fan After Dark.
I was here Sunday morning, holding it down with Mr. Chris Arnold, and then of course we do the handoff with, and then of course Wooly Bully filled in yesterday for Chiafalo, because Chiafalo the week before filled in for Wooly Bully. So shout out to both of those guys. But you know, and I feel somewhat, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here? I don't want to say nothing profound by any means, but I had asked during the crosstalk yesterday, Broadus, I said, hey, you boys got $50 million laying around just in case after what went down Saturday night between LSU and Texas A&M. And he talked about how, you know, look, it's one thing to pay for players, but when you have to continuously pay for head coaching mistakes, because as we all know, or in case you don't know, you're about to know, $54 million is what Brian Kelly is owed by LSU in terms of a buyout. And it looks like they're going to go ahead and pay him that $54 million as of, you know, at some point this week or whenever the hell they decide it. But Brian Kelly was out. Again, we talked about it yesterday. Didn't expect it to happen quite as soon as it did. But boom, you find out last night. Touchdown Kansas City. Shout out to Rashee Rice. North Richland Hill stand up. You know the vibes. Yeah.
You gonna finish your point?
I finished it.
$169 million in buyouts to college football coaches this year. Brian Kelly at the top with $53 million, like Fred just said. James Franklin from Penn State at $49 million. Billy Napier at Florida at $21 million. Mike Gundy at OSU, $15 million. Sam Pittman at Arkansas, $9.5 million. Deshaun Foster at UCLA, $6 million. Brent Pry at Virginia Tech, $6 million. Trent Bray at Oregon State for $4 million. Trent Dilfer at UAB for $2.4 million. And Jay Norvell at Colorado State, $1.5 million. All accumulates to $169 $70 million of buyouts.
And you figure there's probably going to be, what, another half dozen guys that will probably get booted out before it's all said and done. So, you know, I mean, and look, those lower tier guys that you talked about, the Jay Norvells of the world, the, who's another guy? Trent Dilfer. Yeah, those guys. I mean, okay, a couple mil here and there, boom, done, whatever. But, you know, you just wonder when you hire a guy like a Brian Kelly, who's got a bit of a is
crescendo.
Well, there's that for sure. But, I mean, he's got, you just wonder, like, what exactly were you thinking that made you think Brian Kelly, who's a northerner and has always lived in the north or been a northeasterner, what made you think he was going to work in Baton Rouge?
I knew it wasn't going to work when he did that fake southern accent.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
at the pep rally.
Wasn't that enough to give you an idea? And of course, at that point, you've already hired him, so it's too late. I mean, you and I and you know, college football fans at large can laugh at that and say, okay, this does not going to end well. But you just wonder, like, the powers that be that make these hires. Like, what do you, you know, and I go back to what, you know, what you and I have talked about when it comes to, you know, when you draft these players. Like, what are you asking some of these guys?
I would love to be a fly on the wall.
Man, forget being a fly on the wall. I want to be a guy that asks the questions.
Yeah, you do.
You know?
What question would you ask? They only allow, you're an intern, they allow you. My boy Freddie's got one question before we draft you.
Why should I draft you?
Original. I don't think that one's been asked.
No, because I want to know what they're going to ask. I want to hear what their response is going to be. Okay. And I'll be able to tell just from that little bit. If you give me some cliched, nuanced response, I'm done with you.
I thought you were going to have some very niche question.
Well, I mean, if I only get one.
You only get one.
I only get one.
There's other people in the room asking questions. It's not the only question asked in the interview. You only get one, though. Let's just say, why should we draft you? Has already been asked.
Why should we draft you?
Maybe that's the first question. Asked.
I don't know, because I'd have to. I mean, again, it would be one of those things where I'm a big follow-up guy.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I think the key to a good question is in the follow-up, because you're going to say something throughout the course of that interview that I'm going to pick up on.
Like, active listening.
I mean, you got to. I mean, look, I'll tell you what. One of my go-to answers, and really, you're asking. One of my go-to questions back when I was hiring people was, what does the inside of your car look like right now?
Mm, you're one of those guys.
Okay.
That'll tell me everything I need to know about you. How clean do you keep the car?
Well, here's the thing. Because if you start fidgeting around and think about what you're going to tell me, it means, okay, your car's probably a mess. And you're going to lie to me about how it doesn't look that bad. Mm-hmm. Okay? I don't want you as part of my team.
So if you have a dirty car, you don't want that person part of your team?
Just be honest. Why is it dirty?
Okay.
If the answer said, I have 5 seats and a steering wheel.
What's that?
What if they just said, I have 5 seats and a steering wheel?
Did you ask what's the inside of your car look like?
Oh, 5 seats and a steering wheel. I'd say, okay, that's clever. Is there trash? Is there garbage? What does the rest of it look like?
Don't remember the last time I looked at it.
Then get the hell out of my car. Then we're not hiring.
I'm a 5-star recruit. You've never seen somebody run a 4 flat.
we're not hiring you.
You're not going to hire me because I left a Cane's cup in my car?
No.
I'm a 5-star recruit.
If you tell me you don't know what the inside of your car looks like, then get out of
it. I forgot. I'm never in it. I got a driver. NIL, baby.
I don't want you. I don't want you.
You know what? I don't want you either. I'm not coming to Topeka State. I'm going to Ohio State. No, but I don't want to go there anymore. Get out of here, Coach Davis.
You don't want to come to Topeka State.
No, I don't. We're gonna take our talent somewhere else, and you can take your car question to the 3-star recruits.
First of all, ask that question for people that are working a 9-to-5 blue collar job. Number one, okay, not high school or NFL recruits.
That's what we're doing.
Okay, I'm not asking high school or NFL recruits. Hey, what's the inside of your car looking like?
I would ask a simple question.
Yeah?
Very simple.
What would yours be?
I would look them dead in the eyes. No eye contact can be away from me. And I would say, when you think of what makes you happy, how close is football to that? They're going to get their answer, my family. Ah, hard enough. I didn't hear the word football in there one time, buddy. Go ahead and step out of my office. And I wouldn't recruit them. The kids that start off, football is my life. Yes, sir. Come to the program. I don't want to hear about your family. I don't want to hear about your wife. I don't want to hear about your kids. I don't want to hear about your 401k. I don't want to hear about player safety. None of that stuff.
Well, chances are, if you're recruiting a kid for college, I don't know that they're going to have a 401k.
I don't even want them thinking like that. That's for other people to think about. I want you thinking about catching the football, running the football.
Tutties.
Tutties.
That's all I care about.
If that's not the first thing out of your mouth, it's not the program for you. You can go to Topeka State. We're full over here at Elliott University. We got dogs over here. You can go answer car questions over there at Topeka State. I heard that Davis coach is looking at the inside of people's cars. He's got a flashlight as they're pulling up to the... just checking out the guy.
No, go ahead and park in that garage over there. Just stand to the side. Don't worry about it. My team's going to take a look at the inside. We'll get back to here in a second.
Cooper Flagg, missed layup.
Just hang out.
We got a text from the 832-325.
From my Topeka State compliance office.
Every now and then, Fred lets us inside of his head. It's scary in there. Your thoughts?
I mean, that person's not wrong. I'm not mad at him for that.
Dallas Mavericks are down 30-26 against the Oklahoma City Thunder. You like how I called that basket before I went in there? We saw the big lineup still starting.
Starting the big lineup.
And by big lineup, I do mean Cooper Flagg being at point guard.
Yeah.
No Derek Lively tonight.
Knee contusion.
He's dealing with the right knee contusion. So Max Christie got the start instead of Derek Lively. They had Max Christie, Cooper Flagg, and Klay Thompson all out there as the guard/wings. And then you had P.J. Washington and Anthony Davis at the five to start things off because you don't have Lively nor Gafford tonight. D'Angelo Russell comes in with about 7 minutes left in the first, and the team hasn't looked back. They've looked a lot better since D'Angelo Russell's been on the court. Max Christie's been a big focal point of their offense. I think he's already up to 7 or 8 shots as well. So I'm liking what I'm seeing from the Mavs more since D'Angelo Russell came in. Those first 7 minutes were rough.
Again, stop me if you've heard this before, but basketball works a lot better when you have a legit ball handler running the offense. I mean, what a concept. And all I know is this, this is what worries me. We had Ron Harrod Jr. on last week, and one thing he brought up was that Jason Kidd was hell-bent on making Giannis a point guard back in the day.
Covered that team.
He covered those Milwaukee Bucks. And so that makes me a little bit nervous when I hear about that, because it's like, okay, eventually he got fired. And so you just wonder, okay, how long is this? Now, the difference is that, you know, you are going to have Kyrie back at some point, right? February, March, somewhere in there. The question, though, is that we were operating under the guise that, okay, by then you should be maybe 5 games above 500. You should be fighting for a playoff spot. You're maybe somewhere 5-6 as far as best in the West. And so that way, when you do get Kyrie back, hey, it's not an uphill battle. It's not an uphill challenge. You're in a rhythm at that point. And so, you know, plug and play, Kyrie's good to go. I just wonder, okay, how long are you going to go with this? We're not going to start D'Lo, and we insist on starting Cooper Flagg at the point guard.
Well,
spot. Speaking
of uphill challenge, let's go ahead and get more angry. The Dallas Cowboys get dismantled by 20-balled by the Broncos.
Were you angry, though?
I wouldn't say angry. I predicted them to lose. I didn't think it'd be that ugly. Yeah. It just reaffirmed. I was sitting there. My friend showed up in the fourth quarter to my house to watch the end of the game because we had dinner plans after. And I just said to them, I was like, this week, I'm going to be so happy to do our revisiting our picks, Fred. Because this week showed me who the real teams are and who the real teams aren't. I think this week, we said it on the phone, this week was very clear. Yeah. There weren't a lot of close games. The teams that are good stamped and solidified it this week, and the teams that are not good showed you their true colors this week. The Dallas Cowboys are not a good football team.
No.
They are an average team at absolute best. They have a high variety and variance because of their offense. Like, they can put up 40. Like, if they play the Chiefs tomorrow and they lost 41-40, I wouldn't be that surprised, and I wouldn't put them in the Super Bowl. Like, no. They can do that. Their offense is that good. But they also going to have games like the Bears or like yesterday against Denver, and the offense doesn't show up. The defense has looked as bad as it has all week, albeit the only good game was against the Commanders when they had nobody. And the people that were like, hey, the defense isn't fixed, you just beat the Commanders, and we agreed to that. We're like, hey, maybe you're trending in the right way playing man-to-man. You played man-to-man, you played zone, you blitzed, you didn't blitz, it didn't matter.
Didn't matter. You made Bo Nix look like John Elway yesterday.
The Broncos started the game with the interception. Then I want to say 2-3 possessions later, they had the punt. And then other than those two possessions, they scored on every single drive, whether it was a touchdown or field goal. Every other drive. You stopped them 2 possessions, And the first one was just a errant throw by Bo Nix.
Bad throw.
It had nothing to do with your defense. Because remember the first, it was the third play again. The first two plays, they gas you for like seven plus. And then the third play is just a terrible throw on a slant route by Bo Nix. Throws it right to Bridges. And shout out to Bridges being there.
He did catch it.
And after that, there really weren't any other defensive plays I can that are of note.
No, I mean, the other kind of bugaboo was, you know, shout out to James Houston. I mean, appreciate him being on the Cowboy Hour with Brad Sham just now. But, you know, and he said, look, we just got to get a little better on defense. Well, I go ahead and I would push back on that a little bit. And I get it's Brad Sham. I mean, it's a friendly. You're not going to get too crazy about it. But
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, and this is Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what, Brad? I'm just getting into a tiff.
James, let me stop you right there real quick. Did you just say you need a little bit better on defense?
I have a great view of the game, James.
I have been watching every game with a lot of earnesty. No, I mean, this defense is terrible.
Terrible. Historically bad. They're 32 in everything.
You asked, we were talking yesterday during the fourth quarter, and you said, all right, what do you do? You know, as far as your draft picks are concerned, I said, look.
We started having draft conversations.
I mean, well, because we joked. I said, okay, does this mean that we start doing draft talk this week? I said this to you yesterday. I'll say it again today. First three rounds, hell, maybe four or five rounds. You take the best defensive player available, regardless of position.
Regardless.
It does. You are so bad at every position right now. You're bad at linebacker. You're bad at safety. You're bad at cornerback. You're bad at D tackle. We already know you're bad at D end. Okay.
There's not one position you can go, we're good there. We're good. We can't.
G-Bag asked a question today. Who would start on another NFL team?
That's on a that great defense? Question.
Okay.
I think you could, just off name value, probably your D tackles.
To me, who's also starting for right now?
What I haven't, no, if we're going off this year's play, no. But I'm just saying, name value. Like,
you got to go off this year, though. I mean, look, we have not said Osa's name one time.
Remember, Solomon Thomas got in the game. I was like, okay, he's in the backfield. He's making some things happen. He's causing a little bit of havoc. I was like, did he sub in for Osa? I didn't even notice Osa was in the play before him.
I haven't even noticed Osa. And then, you know, Kenny Clark, maybe.
He's
gotten worse as the season's gone on, right? Because it's like, look, we're not worried. Nobody is worried about your defensive line.
Can we think of any other players that would start?
Maybe Deron Bland.
Deron Bland, yeah.
Deron Bland would be a starting corner on just about any other NFL team.
Yeah. Other than that, it's
that's it.
That's where the list ends.
That's it. And then, from a special teams point, obviously Brandon Aubrey would start on every team. But that's it. I mean, but defensively right now, the only go-to guy that you can say without any equivocation whatsoever is that Deron Bland is the only player on this football team that would you could guarantee would start on another NFL football
team. Do you think the defense, before we get out of here, do you think the defense was a product of you played a good Broncos offense, or this is who the defense is? Like, they're like letting out.
This is who the defense is.
Well, I'm just saying the people that are Washington, Denver, is there somewhere in the middle?
No. I mean, look, what did we say all week last week that we cautioned everybody with? That when, you know, we were like, yeah, we're, you know, yes, is it fun for you and I as radio hosts and as guys that cover the team? Is it a lot more fun to go talk to the guys after a win? 100%. I mean, look. When the Cowboys beat the Commanders a week ago, you see Shoddy and those guys doing that little thing that they do where they go, you know, he reads off what somebody did and they go, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Denver scored 44 points yesterday. Yeah. Okay. RJ Harvard looks like Terrell Davis. Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's what you did yesterday.
Troy Franklin looks like Jerry Rice.
Yeah. Okay. Jake Ferguson had zero catches. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's
it. Jerry.
Come on, man. Let's talk about this. So, no.
You don't think they did the yeah?
I seriously did. Yeah, let's get the hell out of here is what they said. What you and I talked about yesterday, all right? Here's the reality of this. And 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. Boy, I'll tell you what, Clay looks rough. This is... What was the knock? Okay, even when the Cowboys were going 12-5, what was the knock on the Cowboys then?
Run defense.
Well, not just that, but yet you could beat the okay teams, yeah. But you had a hard time beating
that was when you lost to the Dolphins.
Upper echelon players, yeah. Right? Yeah. Well, guess what? Now, but at least you were in that top tier of hey, this could be a good team.
Yeah.
Now you're in the bottom tier, and that's who you're good at beating. Okay, the reality is this. Of the three wins, those teams, let's see, although I guess you do get to feel a little bit better. The Jets won yesterday,
yep.
Okay, so you can feel good about that. The Giants are still terrible,
mm-hmm.
All right, and God bless the Commanders. They're hanging around the Chiefs right now, okay? But those are your three wins. Those are your three wins, and let's call it what it is. The Jets are still terrible. All right, that was more about Cincinnati's collapse as it was about anything the Jets did. And look, we all get it. Justin Fields is crying in his closet a week ago. All right, so there's that aspect of it. The Commanders are doing the best with what God gave them tonight. They've turned over the Chiefs twice and are still sitting there, hell, they're in the red zone right now. Giants lose Scataboo. And they look like a mess and are probably going to, you know, lose a lot more games before the season's finally over. So that's who you've beaten. Those are the wins on your schedule right now. And look, would you, me, or anybody else that's listening right now, would any of us be shocked if you beat the Arizona Cardinals on Monday night? No. Would anybody be shocked if you came out of the bye week and beat a crappy Raider team and found yourself at 5-4-1? No. Yeah, who you beating after that? That's the real question. That's Blake Elliott. I'm Fred Davis. We've got our boy Dylon behind the glass on the 1-2s and 3s. Coming up next, what did Jerry have to say following the loss? And does this mean they're still going to be active in the trade market? Your text messages, lots to get to. Don't go anywhere. This is Fan After Dark.
This next segment on the Fan After Dark is brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call Frankel first. 214-817-333-3333. With Frankel and Frankel, there is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel and Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas.
Second and 10, toss left to Harvey, shredding the defense. There he goes, 25, 20, 10, Harvey strolls in. That's a 40-yard score, and the Broncos have their first lead of the day. They just never found him. I'm not sure he was ever touched.
That was one of the more just back-breaking slash degrading runs we saw yesterday. From the Bronco offense. Number one, not only did Kenneth Murray look bad on that, but Shamar James got thrown into another time zone as well on the blocking side of things, and pretty much everybody looked bad.
Can I get my grievances out?
Get them out.
And I would love to give you a detail of exactly.
By the way, Mavs are only down 3 with 3.5 minutes
Come
left
on,
to go.
And
I'll tell you what, they don't deserve to be this close.
They don't.
But I'll tell you what, kudos to them. They stuck around and
nobody can hit shots. This has been one of the ugliest shooting games I think I've ever seen. And it's not like they're just all shooting a bunch of threes. I mean, this is just nobody can buy a bucket.
Yeah. Lid on the rim, if you will.
Okay, there you go.
Kyer Elam might have the worst run fits I've ever seen from an outside corner.
He did not look good yesterday.
I'm not even going to really blame the safeties because you had like practice squad guys up there and Reddy Stewart coming up. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time blaming the safeties. Sam Williams has the worst discipline I've ever seen of any defensive end. He's either offsides, getting a roughing penalty, or just completely not filling the gap he's supposed to. His gap integrity.
He's just not. For what you.
Sam Williams is a freak athlete. And like when he, you said, when he's in the backfield, looks like a monster. Like, oh my God. But 9 times out of 10, he's in the wrong position, or he's literally getting a penalty. He'll have a great play and then go push the quarterback.
That's it.
And then ruin all of it. So I just had to get this up. I was watching the game, and I called you at one point, Fred. I said, Kyer Elam.
Awful.
Is awful in run fits. I'm literally, if you almost every single one of the Broncos rushing touchdowns where they would bounce to the outside, it was Kyer Elam getting in the wrong fit or arm tackling or just get in the way. Get run over and make the guy slow down. Like he's arm tackling behind a blocker or just completely jumping out of the play. And I called the one where it was not Harvey. What's the backup's name?
Dobbins?
No, I am thinking of Harvey. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Harvey's third touchdown. So already has 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
They have him all the way out left. And they got Shamar James guarding him in man. So Shamar James is like playing corner. They motion him back to the backfield and then run him across the line of scrimmage for an easy just little screen pass to the right. And he walks it in for his third touchdown. I'm just like, when you see that happening in flow and you're like, okay, we got Shamar James on this guy who already has 2 touchdowns that runs a 4-2. There's a great chance that you're trying to get him in space. And nope, they just go, Shamar James is going to run through all this traffic, and he ends up running into his own players.
Yeah.
And Harvey walks it in for his third touchdown. So as much as you can, we can blame the players, they weren't put in a great situation right there. I don't expect Shamar James to make that play. That's not – I would love for him to, but I don't expect him to. And I saw that play coming from a million miles away, and I'm not a defensive coordinator. I'm sitting on my couch. I don't know how Eberflus doesn't see that or doesn't expect that going into game planning. Hey, they're probably going to do this. I've seen them motion the running back and try to isolate our linebackers. And you just see elementary things happening. Because that's what you do in high school. You go, okay, they're following the running back everywhere. Our running back's faster than their linebacker. We're just going to motion them and run them across. Yeah. They already got 2 touchdowns on the day. And Eberflus and Shamar James and the boys are like, let's just line them up. We're just better than them. We're just going to, no. No
well, adjustment. Or maybe that's just part of their, maybe that's just part of the whole, you know, we got to simplify things. Because, you know, obviously communicating and try to pass them off, that hasn't worked.
Oh, that post touchdown when they run the crossing routes and homeboy's wide open in the end zone.
I mean, I think this is one of those things where, you know, if you're Eberflus, I don't know what else Eberflus can do. As far as, you know, simplify things. I mean, how much, you know, it's the proverbial, can you make chicken salad out of chicken bleep? And I just wonder, how much can you possibly make out of this football team, out of this defensive side of the ball?
I don't think he's maximizing it, but he's not playing with great players. So I'm at the point where I think it's both sides, the chicken and the egg. I don't think Eberflus is doing a great job maximizing, but it's not like he's got great players to maximize.
Well, and that's my thing is it's like, okay. Like
but I'm not, he's not blameless. I want to make that
clear.
He's
definitely not blameless. I mean, he's made some head scratching decisions as to, okay, well, why did you take so long? But at the same time too, maybe this was part of the gig where when he came in and got hired, he was like, look, you guys know what scheme I run.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And this is what, I mean, there's so much behind the scenes, and you know, Gavin talked about this today on G-Bag with Eberflus. I mean, look, Eberflus has been a good defensive coordinator, mm-hmm. right? Now, do you wonder if maybe a little bit Chicago broke him?
I will say our Chicago residents, Bob and new guy Jake, were very happy to let go of Eberflus. And even on the DC.
I was going to say, it wasn't like defensively Chicago was some juggernaut. I mean, that's
they
the
were
thing.
Like, okay, take him. He's a bend, don't break, quote unquote, but does a lot of breaking.
No, they do a lot of breaking. and we're not talking about break dancing either. Ugly first half. Kansas City and Washington at halftime, 7-7. Meanwhile, the bricks continue for both sides here in the Dallas and OKC game. Dallas is only down 6 with 30 seconds left to go. So, and they've got the ball, so we'll see what happens here. But, you know, could they bring this within a 3 or at least 4 points? We'll have to wait and see. But and then we've got the World Series going on. I mean, just he just Bill Bucknered it. Too bad. Sorry if you've heard this before, but another miss by the Dallas Mavericks. So, final shot of the first half by Oklahoma City. We'll keep you posted on what that looks like. So, I guess the real question is going to be Jerry Jones – kind of echoing what you and I just asked, or at the very least was asked, can Matt Eberflus coach a winning defense?
Yes. I think after a game like this, you say, boy, we need to make some adjustments. What the truth is, probably some adjustments, more adjustments, maybe late in that second quarter, maybe some more adjustments, that's second guessing. Maybe a little more pressure, second guessing. Where he does know how is to evaluate what he's trying to do, and is a good coach in coaching them up of correcting their mistakes and getting them in there. But I've seen him take players and units, and they improve and get better as he coaches them. I've seen that, and I've seen it more than once. And so he's a good coach.
All right, he's seen it.
I mean, look, Jerry can – I don't know if Jerry's trying to convince us or if he's trying to convince himself or if it's at this point where – I mean, at some point, you –
would you be making, like, wholesale changes? Like, there's not much you can do. I don't think you can fire DC, get a good one in middle season, actually. I think Eberflus shouldn't be fired during the season, but do you think swapping out one position is enough, or would you make some, like, big changes? Like, guys that have been on the bench, you are now starting.
No, because, I mean, what, we're going to start Toya and Smith, Mozzie? Like, no.
What do you even do?
No, you can't
just go make lucrative trades and get 10 new players.
No, I mean, I think this is the team you're stuck with, right? I mean, this is, like I said, I mean, you're the best of the worst. You're the best of the crap group, okay? So you figure there's 32 teams in the NFL, right? So you figure if we had three 11-team tiers, right, or 11, 11, and then 10, you know, in that third tier of crap is where the Cowboys would be.
They said the top.
Okay, crap. So if you had that top 10 tier of crap in the bottom tier where you've got the Titans, the Jets, the Giants, like, you're the skinniest kid at fat camp is what the Dallas Cowboys are right now.
Yeah.
Okay? Great offense.
And usually exciting. Usually puts up 30, 40 points and still loses.
Well, and here's the problem. Your offense put up 17 points yesterday. Okay? You put up 17 points yesterday, your starting offense. Now, I'm not... Okay, great. Joe Milton threw a bomb in the end of the fourth quarter when, you know, the practice squad guys for the Broncos were playing and they were already celebrating the dub as they should.
I already think about what celebration dance they're going
to
do.
I mean, seriously, they're making plans to club. Okay, I mean, you probably had people popping gummies at the end of the fourth quarter at the rate that game was going yesterday. But, okay, and here's the other issue, right? Dak Prescott looked... The Dak that all the haters have been waiting to say, wait till Dak goes to being Dak again. Well, you got that performance yesterday.
I think his worst play was not the interception. The Jake Ferguson one, I get it was a bad throw.
Not a great throw.
Mine was in when they're on the 1 yard line, they get the penalty, they get moved back.
Yeah.
And he's got Patrick Surtain off the field, Riley Moss guarding CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb runs a slant. You've got the whole left side of the field, George Pickens and another corner. And he doesn't throw the fade ball to George Pickens, who had all the room in the world. And when you watch the replay, you see him create that space. I'm taking George Pickens versus their third corner versus CeeDee Lamb and a safety and Riley Moss.
Every day.
And I think that was the biggest misread for Dak. He didn't have a great game. I'm not going to like pom-pom and be like, this is who Dak is. Dak's terrible. No.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. all you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard Bassett.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, and this is Undomesticated.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Akasol playing like an MVP. Wasn't a great game yesterday. Had some misreads, was off target a little bit. The offensive line had their worst game as far as pressure rate allowed. It was about half a second faster than any other game they have this year.
I wasn't impressed with the game shot he called.
Every single player allowed a pressure on the offensive line. And usually we go like, okay, maybe just the tackles, maybe the guard here too. Every single player allowed it. Now you are playing the best D-line you've played, the team that leads the league in sacks.
So shouldn't you get the ball out of his hands a little bit quicker?
That's why I thought it was going to be a Jake Ferguson game.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I felt like yesterday would have been like, all right, Shoddy, this is where we need to see you dial up. Like, at some point,
some dump offs to Javonte.
Something or relieve the pressure. Moe, like, by the way, I mean, although he did fumble, and shout out to Brock Hoffman for just
manhandling,
mauling in that group. But yesterday was an all hands on deck type of day. All right, where you knew, look, you come on, man. I'm tired of hearing James Houston and the defense. Well, we're almost there. No, you're not.
They're not close.
Okay, you're terrible. All right, like, you know, and at first, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm watching, you know, and whether it's been Darren Woodson, Nate Newton, Henry Thomas, people we've talked to about. All right, is it the scheme? Is it the personnel? Like, your defensive guys are just not good.
They are 32 out of 32 in almost every statistical defensive category.
You've got maybe the worst linebacking core in the NFL. You've got definitely the worst secondary in the NFL.
Poor guys. We had practice squad guys playing yesterday.
And God bless them. And you've got a bottom five defensive line.
Yep.
Okay.
Recipe for success.
And so I just wonder if you're the Cowboys, and this is the hard part about it. All right. I don't care that you have four first round picks over the next 2 years. It doesn't matter. Because you're not good at picking defensive players.
We're not.
Okay, you're just not. You have whiffed horrifically on the last 5 years. Outside of Micah Parsons, who fell to you.
Yep.
Okay? Your claim to fame is Marshawn Nealon in the second round.
Who's been a
ghost, okay? Mozzie Smith, no explanation needed. Sam Williams, who's terrible. All right, and Donovan Ezeraku, who, okay, that's your glimmer of hope. Mm-hmm. And he's marginal at best. Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing. White Cotton. Like, what are you doing? What's your story? I mean, literally, that entire defensive, I mean, for as much as we've, here's the thing I'll say about Shoddy, we'll move on, and we'll hear more from, we'll hear from Shoddy in the next segment. For as much as we can laud Shoddy for the out-of-the-box thinking and everything else that he did on the offensive side of the ball, okay, I mean, don't we have to give him do we give him the blame or do we give the Joneses the blame for how bad this defensive side looks?
Yeah.
Because you and I aren't privy to what they see behind the scenes. And it's taken us about two games to realize you guys are not good.
and haven't gotten any better as the season's worn on. What did Shoddy have to say about it today? We'll discuss that and more next. Don't go anywhere. This is Fan After Dark.
This next segment on the Fan After Dark is brought to you by Classic Chevrolet. If you're in the market to upgrade your vehicle, get to Classic Chevrolet in Grapevine, back-to-back number one Chevy dealership in the world. They've got more new Chevys than anyone, all priced to sell. Visit ClassicChevrolet.com. This is Texas. This is Classic Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. Relax and enjoy the difference based on new Chevy registrations 2023 and 2024.
You know, this is one of the few days in professional sports where you get all four sports on the same day. You've got hockey, baseball, basketball, and football all on today. And then to all you wrestling nerds, do they still do Monday Night Countdown or Raw, whatever the hell they call it?
It's a Trevor question.
Trevor, ask a Dylon, ask our resident nerd Trevor if tonight's the night when wrestling's going down.
You also had college basketball on earlier today too.
It's all exhibition though, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
yeah.
Florida versus Houston. Florida got the win.
See, there you go.
65-63.
He says yes, it is.
There you go. So we've got wrestling. We've got NBA, NFL,
NHL,
hockey, and baseball all on tonight.
You wonder
why the text lines are dead. I mean, look, I ain't mad at y'all. Look, if we can just squeeze in a little bit of your time.
The fun thing about basketball is there's so many games on every day.
No, it's
like, even if your team's not playing, you can watch like 10 different games.
We're back. I mean, it's going down. It's going down here on a Monday night. And of course, we're 4 days away from your favorite. Is Halloween your favorite holiday?
C.
Okay. Have you solidified what you're going to wear as a gift, as a costume yet?
No, we got to figure that out. Cuz we're going as a duo.
See, I got to decide if I'm going to be here Friday. Cuz it's my son's first week of playoffs.
Oh yeah.
So the question I got to ask myself is, do I go? Now, they're the number 2 seed versus the number 15 seed. So it's like, okay, do I go ahead and watch it online and then go and watch the next game in person?
That's a you question.
Well,
I don't want to make that decision for you.
Go ahead.
I feel pretty guilty.
What if they get upset?
Yeah, like if I tell you to stay here and it's his last game ever and they get upset and I'm like, oh, stay here so we can dress up together.
I know. I gotta figure this out.
If that happens, we can just dress up on Thursday.
Are we going to the company Halloween party on Wednesday?
Should we, Dylan?
I don't know. Where's it at? Isn't it like
it's at the new building.
It's at the new building?
It's at the new building. 12 to 3. They're giving out, now you don't drink, so it's really not, doesn't matter for you, but apparently there will be beverages of the alcohol, of the adult variety, and then they are giving away prizes for costumes.
Should we wear the same thing that we wear to the company party that we wear on the air, or should it be two different costumes?
I'm not doing two different costumes, I can tell you that much right now. Like, I'm still on the fence as to what I would even wear. Like, I'm at the point now where I may just go as Big Nick from Den of Thieves because I would need is a leather coat.
A ghost costume and say you're like the Cowboys defense.
That was good. I didn't know where he was going with that.
I didn't know where he was going either. That's not a bad idea.
Or maybe we could be a guy with a visor and a clipboard that says Indeed and we can be Matt Eberflus.
I mean, look, if Will Chambers isn't going as Matt at Eberflus this year, what a wasted opportunity.
What a wasted opportunity.
You know? Like, I don't know if he's listening. I mean, it's 8:50. He's probably not. You know, Will's a man about town, so there's no telling what he's doing right now at 8:50.
Will is a good mix of Schottenheimer and
he's the perfect mix.
And Eberflus.
He's the perfect mix because, you know, he's not afraid to have a cocktail.
Nope.
Okay. Not afraid to have a cocktail. I'm sure. Hell, Will's probably got his own cocktail named after him, for crying out loud. I call this the Willie. We call this the Sweet Willie C. The Sweet Willie cocktail. And then, you know, he'll scheme you up. He will scheme you up, much like my boy Kelsey's getting schemed up.
How did he not score that? How did he not just hit a little juke move? Because he's 50. He just fell down on his knee.
Because he's 50.
Old Kelsey would have scored that with his eyes closed.
Old Kelsey's scoring that all day, every day.
Couldn't have been more open.
My man's just running to retirement at this point. Gee-many Christmas.
Can the Chiefs not draft a tight end and let him retire?
I mean, I
he wasn't even running a route on that play.
No, he just fell down. All right, this is Shoddy when asked, hey, Shoddy, You're 3-4-1, but you say you're a good team. How do those two add up?
Yeah, I think, you know, I see us every day, Todd. You know, I do see us every day. I see what we're capable of. Here's the word that's coming back again, consistency. You know, we're not very consistent, and we have to be more consistent, you know. Last week, we did a great job stopping the run. You know, tonight, we didn't. And so therein lies a problem. Last couple games, we've been protecting the football, which has given us a chance. Tonight, we didn't. So, I think we're a talented football team. I know we have things to get better at and improve on, but I do think we're a good football team. And we played a good football team tonight and didn't play well. And so, again, I'm going to give them credit, and they deserve it.
Well, I learned nothing from that.
I mean, look, I appreciate Shoddy trying to be the moral compass and trying to, you know, stay positive for the team and what have you. This is not a good football team. And I get it. He has to say that.
We don't need him going Mike McDaniel on the team.
Maybe we do. Maybe we do. Maybe we do need him going, because I think, and I'll tell you what's wrong with this defense is, and that's, I'm trying to think who was the guy that we were surprised that got cut defensively this year?
The corner. I'm blanking on his name. He got picked up.
Is Akwamu?
No, Izzy McQuamu.
Izzy McQuamu. Okay.
Out of nowhere.
So he gets cut. He didn't make. He didn't.
You bet you're wishing you had him now with all the safeties that are hurt.
Now, at the very least, couldn't. I mean, can he be any worse than what you got? But I remember when I asked him a question in week two of the preseason.
Him personally?
Him personally. And I remember specifically asking him about how the team defense had played better that week than it had the week before when they got blown out by the Rams. And I remember him looking at me saying, well, I didn't think we played bad that, you know, like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, Stetson Bennett pretty much did whatever he wanted to do for the first half of that game. Well, yeah, we locked up a little bit more. And I just remember leaving that game or leaving that conversation with Izzy thinking to myself, like, so did you guys not get talked to in meetings this week? Like, the fact that me, an average dude, asking you, hey, this week you looked a lot better than, and the fact that you were so nonplussed about, well, what do you mean we were bad last week? No, you were terrible last week. You made Stetson Bennett look like Jim Everett out there, for crying out loud. Like, what do you mean you're surprised at that question? And so my point in all that is are we convinced this defense even knows they're playing poorly?
I don't think they do.
Is that being stressed enough in meetings? Like, hey, you guys are not good at your job, and you guys are missing routine stuff. This is what Shoddy had to say when he was asked, what's the biggest issue with the defense in Denver?
I think, you know, when you look at it, I'm not just going to start with the defense. I don't think any of us coached or played well enough. We knew we'd have to come in and own the line of scrimmage. I think it started up front. You got to give Denver a lot of credit. You know, I think they moved us around pretty good. Had some big explosive runs, and that's hard. But, you know, I told the guys, I said, look, you know, it's one game. You know, we did not play well. We did not coach well. We're going to get right back to work tonight. And if you let it bleed over into two and three games, then that means you're not a competitor, because this happens in this league.
It happens.
It does.
Everybody gets 40 put on them
and
have the worst third down defense in the league.
Touchdown, Kansas City. We'll take it all day, every day. All right, last thing, last but certainly not least. This was Jerry when asked, hey, you just got your ass kicked. We're less than, what, a week and some change away from the trade deadline. Are you less inclined to make a deal now?
Well, a loss is discouraging. But as far as my temperament, if I saw a proposition for us to help this team, no matter what this score was today, then I would look at it on the merits of helping this team. And if you're talking about trading for a player or trading a player, I'd completely look at it on the merits of the team, both for next week or the weeks after or for the longer term. So I'd have to answer your question. No, today would not affect a decision on trading for a player.
Please don't make a rental decision. This better. If you make a trade, this better be a guy that's young under team control. Please do not do a rental.
I think they'll they'll be smart about it. Who knows? I mean,
they might think they're right there and go overpay for Trey Hendrickson, who's got this year on his deal, and then he leaves in free agency.
If you're not Trey, if you're not, to your point, if you're not looking to make a deal with somebody. Now, look, if you told me, hey, we're going to give up 2 first-round picks for Myles Garrett, I don't think anybody on this, I don't think anybody in this city would have a problem with that. And you're like, you know what? Yeah, your secondary is terrible and your linebackers can't cover anybody, but hey, you got Myles Garrett on one side. You basically decided, hey, we'll trade Micah for an older Myles Garrett and Kenny Clark. All right, I guess we'll try that.
When are we going to see Zion Childress and Kalen Carson?
Well, apparently we saw Kalen Carson yesterday.
I mean, like, for real, like, get meaningful snaps.
Well, that kind of tells you what they think about him.
These are guys that one impressed in training camp and one was one of your draft picks, and we're still out there watching Bridges and Kyrie Elam.
We're all wondering the same thing. Mavs After Dark comes up next. They salvaged one yesterday. Blake will tell us what he thinks they look like so far, and there's still, what, one more home game left on what might be the longest season beginning stand in the history of the NBA. Lots to get to. Don't go anywhere. Your text messages more. This is Fan After Dark.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, and this is Undomesticated.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.